Hey everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders Podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This podcast is from Monday Nights, our local community gathering. If you want to be a part of it and you live in the Southern California area, you are invited. Or if you don't live here but you want to join us online at crmovement.com/gatherings. Hope you enjoy the message.
This is incredible. You guys are amazing. How's everyone doing tonight? So good. Let's try that one more time. How's everyone doing tonight? I'll be honest. Thank you, Nick. That was an incredible intro. Does anyone ever have like an anti-intro kind of vibe? You know, I'm not Grace, but I'm going to receive the intro tonight. Hey, this is an amazing moment for me, and I know it is for all of you guys as well. It's such a crazy moment to be in this room so packed, and I'm just going to jump right in. Are you guys good with that? Yeah. I'm not a warm-up guy, so we're going to skip the warm-ups and just go right to it. But this movement was founded by our spiritual mom and dad, Brian and Christy Brent, and to about 10, 11, 12 years ago, sometime in that time frame. And we landed here in Orange County in 2011, 2012. And shortly after that time, our founder and leader, Brian Brent, he began to talk about this army of radical, on-fire young people that were living in Orange County. And he said, we're going to start a worship night. And we started literally in a garage. So just so you know, maybe you know this history, maybe you don't, but Monday nights literally began in a garage. Now, when you're thinking garage, don't think like super cool swag, gigantic garage. Think literally you could barely fit two cars in the garage, like a regular neighborhood house garage. And there were like 10 of us sitting in the garages in that garage. And that was just our way weekly. Brian and Christy would teach the word. We would worship. We would pray. And they were just these glory times together. But Brian was such a man of faith. And Brian called himself a futurist. And he had a way. He would just say, I'm telling you, I can see into the future. There's an army of young people in Orange County. They're revivalists. They're on fire. They're hungry. And we're like, bro, we believe. We believe. And I know we've got a bunch of YWAMers in the room. And of course, you're counted in this. But Brian would always say, I'm not talking about the YWAMers. Brian would say, I'm talking about young people who are born and raised right here in Orange County. They're burning for Jesus. And he goes, they're going to come out of the woodwork and be like an army. And of course, we believed with faith everything Brian said. But these Monday nights, I don't know if any of the circuit riders can relate to this. There's just like this wild buzz in the air of just fulfillment. You are a fulfillment of so many prophecies, so many words of prayer, where we would just dream of this army of young people. And I was standing up front tonight. I don't know if Nick has this moment, but I just was having a moment where I was like, man, Brian was right again. He was right, like he had 1,000 batting average. He never missed it. And I was looking and just seeing all of you young people. And I just couldn't help but just think of all the other words about what God is doing right here in your generation in Orange County. And I just believe with all of my heart that revival is in the air. It's in the ground in Orange County. And I don't believe that because of some, you know, amazing mystical moment. I believe it because I see it in your eyes. When I see you guys rumbled up here and just going wildly after Jesus, I go, this is revival. How many of you are like, I want to see revival? Yeah, I want you to know, keep praying that. Keep wanting more. Keep yearning for revival. But I also want you to know, don't look now, but you are living revival. You are the manifestation of revival. So yes, keep crying out for more. Keep wanting more revival. But at the same time, enjoy that you are living in a flame of revival right now. It's in you. It's on you. It's in your heart. So man, I'm just blown out. It's so amazing. We love the upper room. I don't even know if that's its real name, but we call it the upper room. And then those floors just began to shake under the power of the jumping or the Holy Spirit, not sure which one, but we feared for our lives and your lives, so we thought, let's move it down. And then, man, the bottom is full tonight. I'm told we've got people sitting on the floor, which just blows my mind. So Carrie and Cody coming next week, I mean, this is crazy. We're living. These are not normal things. If you're in your chair like this is normal, this is not normal reality. What a blessing to be here and be a part of what God's doing. So I'm just going to pray real quick. Jesus, we love you so much. I thank you for every person who's here. Thank you that it's not an accident that they're here, that you've called them here. Holy Spirit, we know that you're already here, but we open our hearts to you. We ask you to speak to us in such a clear and specific way. God, we ask for such a freedom to strike our hearts tonight in you, a freedom in Jesus Christ. I pray that tonight callings would be received. I pray tonight chains would be broken. I pray tonight people would be healed physically, mentally, emotionally. Holy Spirit, we ask you to just turn loose on this room in the craziest ways. We welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in a freedom series on Monday nights and a Freedom in Christ series. And I think it was 3 weeks ago, Nick opened us up with an amazing, incredible intro, just setting the stage on what is freedom in Christ. And if I'm not mistaken, he got so fired up and just filled with fire on freedom, you didn't even get to your notes. You just preached the intro to the book, and that was just Monday night impartation. How many of you were here for that 3 weeks ago and just felt like your hunger for freedom in Christ went through the roof? It was powerful. And then 2 weeks ago, Chloe Mack was here. How many of you were just blown up by Chloe? Yeah, incredible. So powerful. Preaching on original design. And I loved the whole message was powerful. But I loved that opening moment when she's just such an incredible communicator and just came right out with how sometimes she has a way of being stubborn and resisting the truth about how incredible she is. And I don't know if you can relate to this. I'm 42 years old, but I was so convicted sitting on the side like, I'm 42 and I still am stubborn and resisting and wrestling with God. How many of you could identify with like, man, I've got a little bit of a wrestler in me. I have days where I'm in tune with, I think, who God wants me to be. And then I have other days where I feel like I look nothing like what I think God wants me to be. And there's that wrestle. How many of you have ever wrestled before? And so Chloe was bringing us into just an incredible, just a place of faith. I think that's what that was really about. And this isn't the message. We're just sort of setting the table because tonight we're gonna connect into this. So it's really important you understand the building blocks of where we're going. It's really about receiving an impartation of faith that every one of us is created and built by God with value, purpose, and significance. And that value, that purpose, and significance has nothing to do with your performance. You're built with it in the womb. That is who you are. You're marked by that. And then I think that Chloe was just calling us into that faith. That sounds simple, but it's profoundly deep to just receive by faith with all of our hearts that everything that we're hoping for and dreaming in Jesus Christ, it's God, and he's going to do it. And so she drew us into that faith. And then last week, Zach Nash, how many of you here were here for Zach Nash last week? Yeah. Just unleashed on the authority of Jesus Christ in the believer and in each one of our lives. And man, it was a powerful night because I felt like Zach flipped the script on all the religious lies that as young people, you need to be put on the shelf for a few decades before God can use you. And he declared war on that religious philosophy and said, that's not true. You're anointed, you're filled with Jesus, you have a calling right now, and you are filled with the same authority that Jesus Christ moved in. You're called to operate it in it right now. And to me, it was really a supernatural commissioning. How many of you felt commissioned last week with that authority of Jesus Christ just to go, no excuses, no reasons not to, it's time to go out and live like Jesus lived, and you're called to do that. And then Zach also hit us with the power of strongholds. You guys remember the strongholds moment? Yeah, okay, so there's a sequence going here. I'm just walking you into it. So that intro into freedom, radical hunger, original design and destiny in your life, and then the authority of the believer, and then strongholds. And that's where we're going to pick up tonight. And before I kind of get into what I'm going to speak about tonight, I just want to set the table by saying this, is I think some of you in the room are living in a war in your life. You were born into a war. You have felt at war your whole life. That war is within you. I think some of you feel like you've got two versions of yourself. You've sort of got this faith-filled, on fire, radical, sincere, I want Jesus side of you. How many of you can relate you've got that? And then if you're like me, you have days of the week where maybe you don't come out and say it, but everything in you feels the opposite of that side of you. How many of you can be bold enough and courageous enough to go, honestly, I have two personalities sometimes. I have the side of me that's just on fire for God, And then I have a whole side of me that's just completely underneath the weight of the demonic warfare on my life. And I know this sounds crazy, but I think some of you, you don't have language for that. You don't know how to explain that. Some of you might even in your life even feel like, I literally feel like I'm crazy. Something is wrong with me, but I'm stuck between these two versions of who I am. And I know for me, I grew up in church. I had a real sincere faith at a young age. But here was the key word for my life as a young man, is sincere but tormented. And I know that that sounds crazy, but I'm being bold enough to tell you, and I think some of you in this room live tormented. You live tormented privately. You have a sincere faith. You want Jesus. You've said yes to Jesus the best that you know how. And yet there's this something inside of you that just feels everything in you is at war with what you long to be in Jesus Christ. And so you're stuck in this place of, and I know torment's an extreme word, but I can't think of a better word to describe how I grew up. So wanting God. I remember I just used to shut my door and just cry tears and just, Jesus, I want you. I don't even know how to pray. I don't know. I don't know how to sing. I just know I want you. And yet I would go out and I lived under such intense torment that the self-hatred was so real and tangible in my life. The self-harm, the thoughts of suicide, the feeling that everybody in the world had rejected me, including God. And I was stuck between these two polar opposites of myself. I couldn't describe it. And when I went to church, I sure didn't ever talk about it. I know that none of you would ever do that. But right, the Sunday school rule was you show up, two thumbs up, everything's great, have a donut, do the lesson, and go home and remain tormented. And that essentially was my life until 18 years old. Sincere but tormented. And then had a radical encounter with Jesus at 18. And I really believe I had a sincere faith, but that encounter at 18 was an encounter of freedom. It was an encounter where Jesus came and it said, I see you, I know you, everything you're dreaming of in me is from me, and the war is real. And that word war, I thought, that's it. I feel at war on the inside of me. Wave a hand if you've ever felt at war on your inside of your life. Yeah. And I think here's the thing. I want to just go boldly after that war on your life tonight. I couldn't describe it. I didn't know what it was. If I couldn't describe it and I didn't know what it was, how in the world was I ever going to overcome that war? And so tonight I want to just give you a simple truth. It's a simple but a profound truth that I think is at the heart of the war that some of you are living. I'm going to be bold tonight and say, I think there's some of you in this room that you're young, but you know you have a radical calling, or you hope, you're wanting, you're longing. Don't wave a hand, but I know I can see in your eyes. You're like, oh, I want God to use me in a powerful way. And you've got this dream of God that God would use you. But tonight is for the circuit riders who've been around for 10 years. I think some of you still live tormented. So I just want you to know, I think this message is for everybody tonight. Amen. How many of you are like, I want the torment to end tonight? Yeah. Everyone say, torment is over tonight. Yeah, so what is that torment? Here you go. Can I just give it to you straight? So I'm gonna give you a Bible story in just a second, but I'm just setting the table, okay? I think many of us have grown up under the power of injustice in our life. So you're born, you're put together in your mother's womb, you're filled with value, purpose, and significance. You reflect the glory of God in who God's designed you to be. And since the day you've been born, and honestly, for many of you, since before the day you were born, the war was already on your life. And so you've just been raised in this culture, this value of injustice. And some of you might go, well, what does that mean? What is injustice? So I'm going to give you a definition for injustice. Injustice means this: unmerited or undeserved harm. Some of you have grown up, you've been wounded so many times in ways that you didn't deserve, ways that you didn't ask for. In fact, some of you have been so wounded, and it's such a normal part of your life growing up. I know in my years of ministry, we'll talk with people, and we'll pray with people, and we'll say, you know, you grew up in this injustice, and the way that you grew up, or the way that you were treated, or this reality in your life was not God's heart for you. And I'm amazed at sometimes, I don't know if you've ever seen this, at the blank stare back, and they'll just say, well, that's all I knew. It's just what my reality was. Or I thought everybody's family was like that. And then there's this moment of just saying, you're in so much pain from the injustice you've grown up on, that you're disconnected from all that pain. So you just got layers and layers of pain in your life. And I know this seems really simple, but when you're in pain, you react to pain. And when you react to pain, if you're like me, I wish I could tell you I reacted to pain perfectly, but generally, can I get an amen? Generally, when I react to pain, I react in sin. And so it's that moment when you're in pain and you react to that pain and sin, the enemy goes, I got you. Why did I do the buildup on those weeks? Because I want to pick up right where Zach left off. And Zach went off on the power of strongholds. And the truth is that some of you in this room, you're living with strongholds. The enemy has areas of your life where he has a stronghold. And you've tried and tried and tried to overcome. If you were anything like me, I was living tormented privately. And I was everything I could. I was trying to break those patterns. And I could not break the patterns. In fact, the sin patterns, the more I tried to break them, the worse they got. I was so stuck in a rut that it seemed like the harder I tried to get out of the rut of the sin patterns, the deeper the rut got. And yet I had this private life of torment and a public life of religious smiles. And yet I was sincere for Jesus and saying, Jesus, but Jesus, how could you ever use me because I'm so stuck in a rut? And I have these patterns in my life. And when I work on the pattern gets worse. You know, I'm filled with anger and I try not to be angry. And the more I try not to be angry, the angrier I get. I'm filled with self-hatred and I try to love myself. And the more I try to love myself, all I see is what's wrong with myself. I'm filled with doubt and unbelief. And I try to believe. And the more I try to believe, the less I believe. And I have this thing happening in my life. Is this getting too crazy for you guys? And I had this thing happening in my life, and I would never say it publicly, but privately, I began to really question Jesus. But I would never say that because I was so trained. Do you see what I'm saying? And the religious moves of Sunday school, that I could Sunday school the moment with the best of them. But on the inside, I began to say, Jesus, do you really work? Jesus, where is the Jesus of the Gospels? Jesus, where is the power that I read about in scriptures I don't see in my life? Jesus, where? And so I was stuck in this place. I was stuck in this place. And then that love encounter with Jesus at age 18 was a pivotal turning moment for me. And that's where Jesus began to say, Matt, the reason you're tormented is this simple reason. Don't miss this. If you miss this moment, you miss the essence of the message. The problem isn't just sin in me, but the problem is actually what's right with you. And the enemy knows what's right with you. And the enemy perceives the seeds of destiny and the grace of God that's been sovereignly put on your life. And it's the enemy who's waging war against you. And I felt like God began to heal me and put me together and say, Matt, but you've got to come out of that place and begin to be wise and wage war with the enemy. Does that make sense? So I want to introduce to you kind of this subject of injustice tonight. And I think to do that, we really need to go to scripture. And there's a great, powerful picture in scripture. And so I'm just going to tell you the story like you've never heard of it. Many of you are going to go, I'm very familiar, but that's okay. We're going to enter in with childlike faith into this biblical story like we've never heard it. You guys good with that? It's out of the book of Genesis. So it's the story of the life of Joseph. Who's ever heard of Joseph? Raise your hand. And so some of you may have heard of Joseph, some may have not, that's okay, but we're just going to take a fresh look at it. I feel so often when we teach on injustice, we assume that we're all familiar with Joseph. But Joseph covers the last 14 chapters of the book of Genesis. So just food for thought, I think creation covers one chapter. So you have a guy's life is 14 chapters, and I think we just assume a lot of times like, yeah, we get it. Joseph, he went through some hard stuff and it turned out great. Thumbs up. But I think it's worth pulling over the car. I really feel like tonight when Nick and I were talking a couple weeks ago, Nick and I were just talking about the power of the life of Joseph. And so are you guys good? Let's take a walk through the life of Joseph. It's 14 chapters. It's impossible for us. We can't teach every chapter. We'd be here for days. But I'm just going to take you on a real quick overview of his life, okay? So it starts in Genesis chapter 37, okay? And Joseph is the 12th son of Jacob. So you have the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Abraham receives this incredible Abrahamic promise about a nation, a great nation that's going to be born in and through him. It's going to come through him. We know that Abraham had faith. He responded, and Sarah responded with faith to that promise. We're not preaching on that message tonight. Okay, then you've got Isaac who comes on the scene, and then Isaac's son, Jacob. So you've got these three fathers. Everyone say fathers. Okay, but up until this point, these three generations, it's very much just a seed. Am I losing you guys? Okay, but you've yet to see a nation be born. Okay, then Jacob comes along, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons. He actually has 13. The 12th son's name is Joseph, okay? The youngest, who comes along later, is Benjamin. So we're not getting into the history here because of time, but I'm going to show you what God does here, this miracle moment. But remove Joseph, and those 12 brothers become the 12 tribes of Israel. So through Jacob, you have the nation of Israel literally is born. But I think you can just take that at face value and go, that was some nifty Old Testament stuff. I'm not sure how that impacts me. We have to zoom in on the life of Joseph. And what is God doing in this time frame? God wants to give birth through a nation. He wants to deliver a nation. And so God looks for a deliverer. That's always a theme in scripture, is that God's going to allow something to happen on the earth, and he looks for a man or a woman through whom he's going to deliver his people through. And he sees that great, he plants that destiny in this young man named Joseph. So Joseph is, as you probably know from DreamWorks, I think, who did the epic cartoon on Joseph and the, what's it called, the Technicolor coat? I don't even know what that means. There you go, King of Dreams. Thank you so much. That was it. But I don't know. I mean, hey, kudos to them. I don't know that they really did the Bible story justice, though. So you've got this young son. He's his father's favorite, right? So he is the favorite son of Jacob. And as such, Jacob shows him favor. From the very early ages of his life, his brothers are all jealous of him and hate him. So I want you to begin to see, as we go through the life of Joseph, this theme of rejection, betrayal, injustice, and pain. It really, as we go through this, I want you, I'm kind of giving you the bottom line up front. His life goes from bad to worse continuously right up until the very end. Okay? So he's hated by his brothers. He's rejected by his brothers. His brothers are jealous of him. So much so that when he's 17 years old, his brothers come up with a plan to murder him. Now, just, I don't know about you, but I've been a part of some sibling rivalry in my day, but I don't know that it ever got that intense. Can I get an amen right now? When your 12 brothers are legit like, no, I got a real plan. I see him coming. We're going to take him out. This is our moment. You've got real problems in the family. That's where you start to consider some family counseling. There's some dysfunction going on. And so Joseph doesn't know this. Joseph's just kind of rocking up on them. Okay, before that moment happens, and I'm just going to share, this is really important for our message. So we're going to do a little bit of Bible tonight. Are you guys good with that? So in Genesis chapter, let me find my spot here. Genesis chapter 37 is really where the story picks up with him. And this is prior to that moment. But this is an important moment in his story, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 11. So Genesis 37, if you've got your Bible, pull it out. You can pull it up on your phone, or you can just follow along with me. Joseph had a dream. Everyone say dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because he had because of the dream and what he had said. Verse 9, then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. He didn't learn on the first round. That didn't go over well, so he thought he'd smooth it over with another dream. Here it is. He told his brothers, "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, it went, didn't go good with his brothers, so he went to Pops, thought he would tell him the dream. His father rebuked him, and he said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" Verse 11, his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. I always thought that was interesting. The father kept the matter in mind. So this is the beginning of his life. Really, I know that it seems kind of, you know, the cartoons can kind of take the edge off and put us a little bit in religious mode, but I want you to try to put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Essentially hated and rejected by everybody in his family because of the favor on his life. And you can really just say, what really had he done? He shared a dream. How many of you have ever shared a dream? And we all have shared a dream. Do you know what I'm saying? That didn't really warrant a legit death warrant on his life. But here his brothers are like, we're going to kill him. So he comes out to check on his brothers, and one of his brothers has compassion on him and says, let's not kill him. Let's instead, I've got a better idea, a merciful idea. We're going to sell him as a slave into Egypt. We'll never see him again. He'll be gone. Thank you, brothers, for that compassionate move. And we'll make up a lie to dad about the whole thing, right? So Joseph at that point, and there's so many details I'm skipping, but we're just taking a walk through his life, okay? He's sold as a slave, and he ends up working in the house of a guy named Potiphar, right? He is faithful in the house of Potiphar. He's diligent. He has integrity. He serves with his guts out. I mean, that's a whole hour message in and of itself. How many of us can say we would conduct ourselves with excellence and a heart of a servant in the worst of situations? But Joseph goes, I'm not giving up on God. I believe I have a dream. My dream is from God. I will continue to believe. I won't give up. God sees me. God knows me. I don't know what's happening, but I will be faithful. I will be excellent. I will serve this person. I will serve all the people in the house. He serves and is faithful. And some time goes by, and then he has this altercation. Okay, in the altercation, the Bible tells us he was a handsome young man, and Potiphar's wife saw him, and she wanted to sleep with him. So she came and made that proposal to him. I know it's a little front door, but hey, it's Bible. It's Genesis, okay? Check it out. Read it sometime. There's some drama in there. And he said, yeah, I'm just saying you should, you know. And so she comes and says, I want to do this. And Joseph goes, no, I will not sin against you. I will not sin against God. I will not sin against my master Potiphar. And he remains integrous and pure, and he runs away. And she cooks up this whole story and lies about Joseph to her husband, to Potiphar, and says that he raped me. And so all of a sudden, Potiphar, his master, has this moment of decision. What am I going to do? And so all we know scripture tells us is that point when the accusation comes across, Joseph is taken, he's thrown in the dungeon. He's thrown in the prison. And I think that there's a really strong case to be made here that probably Potiphar knew the truth because he trusted Joseph so much. He trusted his integrity so deeply. He entrusted his entire estate and everything he had to them. Would you do that to someone you didn't know their character and trust them? And at the same time, what do you think the chances are he knew the character of his wife? Yet in the moment of public accusation, Potiphar looks at him and goes, I cannot side with you because of my reputation. I must take her word and I'll put you in prison. So he's rejected and betrayed and abandoned again. So it goes from bad to worse to worse. So now he's no longer a servant of Potiphar's house. He's in the dungeon. But the Bible says he's faithful in the prison. He's excellent in the prison. He serves in the prison. He keeps a tender heart. He keeps pursuing God. He keeps loving God. He stays faithful. Everyone say faithful. And then along the journey, are you guys okay with the story time here? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, right, God sends these two, they were servants of the actual Pharaoh, right? So you've got the cupbearer and the baker. And I don't think that Joseph is trying to be opportunistic. I think he's actually maintained his purity and his tender heart and integrity towards God. So he goes, you're here and you're hurting. I'm going to minister to you. Even though I'm in the dungeon, I will still love you and pour out on you when I'm in the worst of situations. And so they have these dreams and he goes, I can interpret dreams. And he interprets their dream. And one didn't turn out so good for, but one of them is going to be restored back to his position of power. And he pleads with them at the moment it ends. He goes, you're going to be taken out of prison and rescued. When they come and get you, please don't forget about me. What happens? They forget about him, right? So he's again rejected, abandoned, and betrayed, left in the prison. And then, as we know, that the Pharaoh begins to have these disturbing dreams. Nobody can solve the dreams. And he's looking for somebody who can interpret what he's dreaming about these bad things happening in his nation. And all of a sudden, this guy Potiphar, does that ring a bell? Goes, hey, I know a guy. Everyone say, I know a guy. And just so you get a sense, when he was sold as a slave, he's 17. When this encounter happens, he's 30 years old. So 13 years of the story getting worse and worse and worse. Rejection, abandonment, betrayal. Yet all the way along, Joseph goes, purity, purity, purity. God, God, God. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Trust, trust, trust. He won't give up. He keeps believing. He keeps fighting for the word of the Lord over his life. And you guys know the story. They bring him before Pharaoh. Pharaoh tells him his dream and goes, can you interpret? Of course, he rightly interprets the dreams of 7 years of plenty, then a 7 years of famine. And then basically what happens is the Pharaoh says to Joseph, man, you've proven yourself so faithful. can you come up with a plan? He goes, I'll pray and seek God. He comes back and he has a whole plan for the nation to thrive. He gives the plan to Pharaoh, right? No guarantee of an outcome. He might go right back to the dungeon. He doesn't know. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Tender heart the whole way through. He trusts God. And Pharaoh goes, I'm going to promote you to second in command. You will run the entire nation. I will not concern myself with anything. The only person above you is me. And there's this suddenly, everyone say suddenly. So it's like his life is worse, 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 worse. And I don't know about you, I struggle to maintain faith for 13 hours when things are going bad. 13 days. I mean, I know we're chuckling, but can anyone be honest? If you have two bad weeks, you're making some phone calls, we're sending emails. He goes 13 years of radical pursuit of God in the worst of situations and maintains that tender heart. And then all of a sudden, there's a suddenly promotion and all of the words are fulfilled in his life. Now, I would love to stop there, but I think there's so much power in what happens after that. So I'm going to close the story out, okay? So he continues from there. He puts the plan in place. And then all of a sudden, right, his brothers and his father, they're running out of food. So the father sends the brothers to Egypt to get, hey, I hear there's grain, go get grain. So they go over there and they're there to buy grain, to buy wheat. And Joseph sees them, but they don't recognize him. And there's this whole encounter. They actually have a series of encounters as brothers where Joseph, his heart, he's, I think just a healing is happening in his heart because his heart's just ripped. There's my brothers. And he's going, oh my gosh, you know, it's real. And there's a moment. But it's just this powerful picture to me of him living under the power of injustice, but not allowing injustice to ruin him as a person. And I just wanted tonight to say some of you are living under so much warfare because you're living under the power of constant injustice in your life, rejection, betrayal, and abandonment, and you're feeling the pain of those wounds. And I think it's so tempting in that place to begin to go, do I give up on God? I feel there's a dream from God in me. I feel there's a longing for a destiny and a purpose, but will I continue to believe God? Will I continue to remain faithful? Will I continue to trust God? Will I continue to serve people until the Lord is proven true? And so what I want to do is we're going to just sort of transition here into sort of how Joseph overcomes. How's everyone doing? Yeah. And I just want to highlight some key principles here. How many of you feel like you can identify with patterns of injustice in your life? Rejection, betrayal, pain? Yeah. So I want to give you 3 points of emphasis. Number one is this, be a dreamer. Never diminish the word of the Lord and the dream of God that is in your heart. It is the guiding light that frames your very purpose on the earth. And I just want to unleash on this for a second. I believe everyone in this room that God has put a dream in your heart, whether you know it or not. Do not leave tonight if you do not know what the God dream of your life is. We have prayer teams tonight that can pray with you and help you discover that. But I believe that everyone here has that God dream in your heart. And I love the story of Joseph because part of the story of Joseph is the grit and the perseverance to never give up on the dream. Everyone told him, you're crazy. That dream's never going to happen. And he goes, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I don't know when. I don't know how. I don't know when. Mike Bickle has a line where he says, whenever God gives you a prophetic promise, everything in your life will move in the opposite direction before it comes to pass. His whole entire life doesn't just get hard, but it goes in the opposite direction. Like not just not fulfillment. We're not just waiting on God. Your entire life's moving in the wrong direction. And Joseph goes, I won't give up on the dream of God. So I want to challenge you with this tonight. I challenge you to be a dreamer. I think sometimes in the church, we have this religious philosophy with young people to tone it down. Don't dream so wildly. You need to be prepared. You need to go to school. You know, you need to serve. And yeah, you should do all these things if God wants you to do it, but don't do it at the expense of your dream. If God's given you a God dream, you hold on to that God dream and don't be ashamed of the God dream. Everyone say this when they say, I say yes to being a dreamer for God. Yeah, here you go. Number two thing I want to hit you with is this. The enemy knows and perceives the seeds of destiny and the grace of God on your life. The enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy that dream through themes of rejection, betrayal, and injustice. And this is the key of the whole night. My response to pain is what empowers the enemy to destroy the dream of God. So do you see, the whole thing I'm trying to show you tonight is to see that the injustice, the pattern of injustice, is the tool of the enemy. He's a master of wielding that weapon in your life. And what he's after is not so much hurting you, it's your response. Because the enemy goes, if I can provoke you to respond in a wrong way towards God and towards others, then I have a right to oppose you, and you'll never be able to run into your destiny because I have a legal right to work against you. And so tonight at the end, part of what we're gonna do is we're gonna throw off all those ways we've responded to pain and injustice that were not God's highest. Everyone say amen. Yeah, here we go. Okay, here we go. So I'm gonna hit you a little bit more with number two. The enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10 tells us that. I want to tell you this, physical death or spiritual death, either will do. But don't make the mistake that the enemy just wants you to have a bad day, a bad week, or a bad month. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And we have to fight back with that level of spiritual violence in our life. But what the enemy means for evil, what? God will use for good. And Genesis chapter 50, I'm going to take you now to the end of the story. There's a couple of verses that just, to me, so powerfully show the miracle work of God in Joseph's heart. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 says this, when he's having one of these encounters with his brothers and they now realize who he is, there's a moment where he reveals himself. And the Bible says that they come under such intense fear because they're like, oh no, are you going to kill us? Are you going to pay us back for all the evil that we did? And this is just, for a second, can you just connect with the level of power that Joseph holds in that moment? Like he can do anything he wants. He could harbor any attitude, any payback. And this is his immediate response. Verse 20, he says, do not be afraid. What you intended for my harm, God intended for the good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And I want to say this to me, what's powerful about the story of Joseph is that Joseph's story in the end wasn't about his destiny. If you're just going, God has a destiny for me and I need to stay pure so that I can fulfill my destiny, that's a low level of fulfillment, of prophetic fulfillment. What Joseph connects is he finally has the moment of revelation where he goes, oh, I see what it's been about all this time. It's about a birth of a nation. My father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather had a promise. Don't you think they talked about that around the campfire at night? Don't you think they told the stories of the angelic encounters? Don't you think they talked about the stories passed down through our lineage? It's going to be a nation, a nation, a nation. And somewhere in the story of his injustice, Joseph has a revelation. He has an epiphany. He goes, oh, I get it. The warfare of my life's not about me. It's about my generation. And there he has in that moment, he goes, oh, now we're playing on a higher level. And I want to call you tonight into two levels of breakthrough. Number one, you need to have a revelation that the warfare and the torment on your life is really not about you. It's about your generation. Because God is looking for a deliverer for your generation, and he's calling you out. And so, number one, you have to go, God is faithful and he can heal me and he can set me free. But all that is not unto me saying, I fulfilled my destiny. No, if that's the fulfillment, that's so low level. What we're reaching for is this, God is raising me up for my generation. I want everyone to say, my generation. And your faith has to click into that level or the warfare will never make sense. If you're honest with yourself, you would say, man, the level of warfare does not make sense. It's not commensurate. It doesn't. I'm just a regular person down here. Why such intense warfare about me? Well, it's really not about you. It's what you represent. It's what's on the other side of you. Because the enemy goes, listen, you see it all through scripture. The enemy goes, I don't know what it is, but I can perceive greatness on you. He's been studying that throughout human history. And he says, you're a threat to me. You're dangerous. If you're on fire for God and you're running in freedom, there's nothing I can do to stop you. And you represent a danger to me. So you need to come into revelation tonight that the warfare is not really about you. It's about your generation. Come on. Yeah. Amen. And then number three, God works through your suffering to prepare you and bring glory to yourself. God is always victorious and redeems our suffering. I just want to say this. I very rarely feel like I hear this taught on. Often, Joseph, we connect with Joseph on this emotional level of like, man, my life is hard, hard, hard. But don't worry. Hang in there. A suddenly's coming your way. Who's ever heard an epic message on the suddenlies of God? Yeah, and it's worth it, dude. I mean, I love the suddenly messages. You're like, they're the best. Whoever hears a suddenly message and you're like, let my suddenly be tomorrow. Tomorrow would be a great day. And you're hoping in that 13-year story, you're way closer to the end than the beginning, because 13 years is a long time, you know? But here's my point in saying that is I think very rarely do we have the courage to say, you know what? God did not author his pain, but he did allow it. And so there must, in God's creative wisdom, the Lord goes, I know what's in your future, and I know how to train you best. And so this school, this seminary of life that I've enrolled you in, you're calling out for deliverance, but the Lord goes, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm actually going to heal you and make you whole, but I'm going to make you fruitful in the place of your suffering because I know what's on the other side. Sometimes we're calling out for deliverance, which for us means take me out of this situation. And I think the Lord goes, I've heard your prayer for deliverance. I will deliver you in the sense that I will heal you, but we're going to keep you right in that place because there's nothing on earth to prepare you for what's in your future. And I think sometimes we're looking at the dream of God and we're saying, no, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. And I think the Lord in his loving kindness goes, you're not ready. And I love you enough to keep you in this epic spot. You know what I'm saying? Can I be honest? Like, I think it takes a lot of guts to look at this story and embrace the reality of that. Because it's so easy as a young person to go, no way, I'm ready right now. Send me out. Here am I. Send me, God. And I think you should pray that prayer. And God is answering your prayer. But I want to say this, that I think you need to trust God when he has you in a season of preparation, that if the preparation continues on, then the glory that's on the other side of that will far outweigh the preparation in that moment. I promise you this, when the suddenly finally landed on Joseph, I bet you he never looked back with regret. I bet you when he was running the nation, he was like, thank God for every day in the dungeon. Thank God for every day in the prison. Thank God for every day at Potiphar's house. Because those were the years he was learning all the skills that would make him who he was in that moment. The suddenly occurs at age 30. If I'm not mistaken, and someone can correct me here if I miss this after tonight, he dies at either 105 or 110. I think it's 105. So imagine how many years of fulfillment, 13 years of preparation. In our young minds, in our worldview, that feels like forever. But when you look at the grand scheme of his life, such a short season of preparation for such an incredible season of fulfillment. How many of you would say tonight, I have the guts to sign up for whatever season of preparation God has for me for the glory that's on the other side of that fulfillment? Come on. God works through your suffering to prepare you and bring glory to himself. God is always victorious and redeems our suffering. I'm just going to hit you with a couple of pieces here, and then we're going to respond in prayer. You guys doing okay? Genesis chapter 41, verses 51 through 52, show us a picture of the power of God's healing in Joseph's heart. It's my view that it was impossible for Joseph in his strength to remain pure and wholehearted that whole way. Nobody in their own natural strength can do that, but God sustained him. And there's this powerful picture that just looks, that shows us a window into how powerful of a healing that God did in his life. And I'm going to read these two verses here, verse 51 and verse 52. It tells us that Joseph had two sons born to him after he was running the nation. His firstborn son he named Manasseh, and he said, it is because God has made me forget all of my trouble and all of my father's household. Now I just want to pause and say right there that is a powerful, not a prophetic statement, that is a powerful fulfillment statement. He is saying, I'm naming my son in the spirit of that God has done such a radical work in my life, I've literally forgotten the trouble of my youth. I wonder how many of us are longing to be healed so deeply that we can say, I can talk about what I've been through in my past and I feel no pain because God has healed me that deeply and that thoroughly. Some of you are reaching for that healing. Some of you are longing for that healing, but you're still carrying the pain. And I want to tell you tonight that that's not God's highest, that tonight Jesus Christ wants to heal you completely, totally, and thoroughly so that like Jesus, you can say the enemy has no hold on me. I'm ready to move forward. The second phrase he says in verse 52, he says this, the second son he named Ephraim. and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. And another meaning for Ephraim means double fruitful. And so not only had God healed him completely, totally, and thoroughly from all of his pain and suffering, but number two, God made him fruitful in the land of his suffering. I think often when we're going through trials and difficulty, we're saying, God, take me out of this place and then make me fruitful. But I think for some of you, God is saying, no, I'm going to make you fruitful in that place because that place is where I need you for your generation. I want to say this, Psalm 105, and I didn't know this until I was studying this. I've taught so many times on Joseph. He's one of my favorite characters in Scripture. But I found out that there's a summary of his life in two other places in Scripture. And Psalm 105 gives us a summary of his life. The psalmist recaps his life. The other is in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen is brought before the religious people and he's about to be martyred. He gives a whole recap, a history of his people, and he does a whole section on the life of Joseph. Very powerful. Encourage you to read those sometime. But in Psalm 105 verse 18, there's this, the psalmist says this line that I think is so powerful, and it shows the power and the miraculous power of what God did in and through Joseph. Says this line, they hurt his feet with fetters or chains. He was laid in irons. And if you study that phrase, he was laid in irons, the commentaries actually rephrase it this way. His suffering put iron into his soul. His soul came into iron. And there's this beautiful picture of God saying, I know it's hurt. I know it hurts and I know it's hard, but if you'll allow me to take you through this season, I'll put such a strength in you, such a spiritual fortitude, such a resilience in you that you'll be able to stand up underneath the anointing of God when it fully comes under your life. And I think you can absolutely say that if God had delivered him prematurely or not taken him through that season, Joseph would have never been able to stand up under that place. All right, so here we go. We're going to respond in prayer, but there's three things I think the Lord wants to give us tonight. Number one is this. God wants to release faith on us. Faith that God is going to set us free and heal us and deliver us from whatever pain that God is taking us through. Number two is this, and this is a key part of the story, is the power of forgiveness. Everyone say forgiveness. And forgiveness is really the powerful weapon that brings Joseph all the way through. It's without forgiveness or living in unforgiveness really is what leads us to that bondage. And then third is humility. Joseph remained humble before God, trusting in God's character and his goodness. There's always a plan and a purpose. So here's what I want to do tonight. I want us all to stand up. We're going to respond in a little bit of corporate prayer. And if the worship team, I don't know where they're at, but worship team, if you guys want to make your way up here. And here's what I want to do is I'm going to open up the front. And I want to just say, if there are any of you in this room that feel like you've been living in that place of internal torment, I want you to come to the front right now. And I want you, don't hesitate, just come to the front. No one's going to judge you for that. I'm sure tons of people are going to end up here. I can relate to that. If there are some of you in the room who would say, I know that I have a dream from God, but that dream has been under such intense warfare, I've been tempted to give up on the dream of God. Come all the way to the front. If you've been tempted to give up and to quit on the dream of God, if you've been saying to yourself, maybe it wasn't really God, maybe I made that up, maybe I just wanted this, that, or the other, and you've been rationalizing away the dream of God, I want you to come to the front tonight. If there are some of you who feel like, man, I know I have buried anger, I know I have buried bitterness, I know I have buried unforgiveness, and as I'm preaching tonight, I believe this is true, I'm speaking to someone in the room, as I've been talking about pain, someone in this room is having faces flash before your eyes. You know who hurt you, and you're still carrying the pain of that injustice, I want you to come forward tonight. And what we're going to do is we're going to respond in prayer in Jesus' name. Here we go. Holy Spirit, we love you. Jesus, we thank you that you are the great physician. You're the great healer, but not only of our bodies, but more importantly, the healer of our souls. And I pray that tonight, Holy Spirit, you begin to move in this place. I pray you begin to move in power. I pray where people felt they're crazy, you would break the lie that they're crazy. They're not crazy. Where some here have been feeling like the warfare in their life doesn't make sense and they've been wondering, maybe I need medication. Something's wrong with me. No, nothing's wrong with you. It's about what's right with you. God, I pray you would release on us tonight your healing power. Here's what I'm going to do. There's a few things I'm going to pray out over you. And I want you, even if you didn't come forward, I want you just to open your hands to the Lord. And I'm going to declare a few things over you. And I believe that by faith tonight, the power of injustice is being shattered all across this room. The first thing I'm going to release over you is confidence in God's pleasure and selection over you. I think the number one thing that goes when you live under intense warfare is you begin to believe the lie that God doesn't love you and that maybe God really has not chosen you. And deep down, you're longing. Your heart's just crying out, God, here am I. God, here am I. What you don't know is that God is saying, I see you. I see you. I see you. And tonight, we're going to release faith. God, I pray all across this room, you would release faith and confidence in God's pleasure and God's selection over every single person. I pray tonight literally an impartation of Holy Spirit confidence on every young mind, every young heart, every young person. I pray that those who've been battling unbelief, does God love me? Has God chosen me? That lie would be shattered and broken tonight in the name of Jesus. Number two, I want to release power to receive healing from your past and your present pain. Some of you are afraid that you're going to live in pain the rest of your life. And I want to tell you that's a lie from the enemy. You're not going to live in pain. Your pain ends here. It ends tonight. Jesus Christ is here to bind up your wounds and bring healing to you. And so I want to declare this. Jesus, I pray you to release power tonight in the name of Jesus. We declare healing over every heart, every mind. Heal those words that were said. Heal those actions that were done. All the wounds of the heart, God, I pray if you could illuminate our hearts with your glory, all those wounds would be supernaturally healed in Jesus' name. I pray tonight all of us could leave like Joseph, feeling that Ephraim and that Manasseh that God has made me forget all of my troubles only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Tonight I want to release power to be free of all the bondage in your life that results from that pain. Some of you identify with that rut I was talking about earlier. And that rut is, it's about your pain. The pain is the power source of that rut. And I'm declaring tonight, every rut is going to be shattered in Jesus' name. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray together. I'm going to do a repeat after me. And we're going to give to the Lord three categories of injustice as a family. And there's so many categories of injustice, it's impossible for us to do corporately. But my wife and I were praying for tonight. We just felt like the Lord highlighted three categories that all of us could identify with. So I want us all to engage in this prayer, not just those up front, but even those in the back. If you feel like, man, I'm totally healed, I'm good, I'm rocking forward, I want you to pray with us because now we're praying a prayer of intercession for our generation. Let's step into the gap. So this is both for us tonight and for our generation. We're going to pray this together. I want everyone to repeat after me. And as we do, I want you to pray loud, with punch, and with faith, a prayer of faith. Here we go. In Jesus' name, I release to you, God, the injustice of being misunderstood and mislabeled. My whole life, I've been unable to shake the false lies of the enemy. And tonight, I break the power of those labels. Here's the second one. In Jesus' name, I give to you, Lord, all rejection and abandonment by mothers and fathers and our authority figures. I forgive them. I bless them. And I receive the acceptance of Jesus Christ tonight. And third one is this. In Jesus' name, I give to you, Lord, all betrayal by friendships and relationships. I forgive them. I bless them in Jesus' name. Jesus, we just pray tonight you would just begin to heal hearts, heal minds, heal memories. I pray entire memories that are tormenting would be cleansed and deleted tonight, God. I pray the pain that some have been living with for years would be gone tonight. I pray those people that they're afraid to face, they can face them with the love of Jesus Christ. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Remember, I told you it was our response that gives the enemy power. So we're going to shut the door on the enemy. Are you guys up for it? So I want us as a family tonight, as a family, we're going to crush four of our sin responses to pain. Here we go. Are you guys ready? The first one is this. The Lord says we're carrying a fear of being known for who we really are, that we're afraid if we're really the full our measure of ourselves, we're afraid we'll be rejected. And so we're always sort of holding back who we are. Tonight, we're going to break that fear of man. Here we go. Everyone say this with me. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I repent.
I repent.
I repent.
I repent.
For all fear of man.
For all fear of man.
All fear of rejection.
All fear of rejection.
Jesus Christ says I am. Second one is this. We're going to give to the Lord all defeat in every way you've given up after trying so many times and you felt hurt and rejected. Some of you in this room feel like you've tried and tried and tried and you're giving up inside. Tonight we're going to take back our fight. We're going to crush all defeat. You guys up for it? In Jesus' name, I repent for all defeat. And the third one is this. We're going to crush all self-hatred, all self-harm, and all death tonight. We are crushing a spirit of death, physical death, suicide, spiritual death. We're crushing it tonight, and we are going to receive healing. Everyone say this with me. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I break every lie of self-hatred. I break self-harm. And I take authority over the spirit of death. I break it off my life. And then the fourth one we're going to do is this, is performance and religion. We're trying to prove something in response to our pain. Some of us have swung so aggressively to Jesus, but instead of just walking in the love of God, you're trying to prove something. And Jesus is saying to you tonight, I accept you. I love you. We're together. We're rumbling together. So here we go. I repent for all performance Christianity and religion. Guys, we're almost there. I know, thanks for rumbling with me. We're just going in faith. But my wife and I were praying. We saw this picture that there were three word curses we needed to break. So can we rumble together? The power of our words are so powerful. And so often when we're living in pain, our words just begin to speak the narrative of that pain. We're going to break these words over our life. So repeat after me. In Jesus' name, I break the lie that I'll never make it. I break the lie that I'll never amount to anything. I break the lie that I'll do anything with anybody to be accepted. I break that lie in Jesus' name. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your hands on the person to your left and right. And we're just going to pray for just 5 or 10 seconds, a simple childlike prayer that Jesus would release healing in this room, healing of hearts and healing of minds. I want you to pray out loud in your own words. Pray for them as though you're praying for yourself. Release that prayer of healing. Go for it. Jesus, we pray for... Father, we take authority in Jesus' name over every tormenting spirit that's been warring against this room. We command that tormenting spirit to break and to go to the feet of Jesus. I pray tonight you would restore stability of mind, stability of heart. I pray you release the oil of joy, the oil of gladness. I pray where there's been depression, there would be joy. Where there's been sorrow, release joy, God, tonight. I pray to release faith in Jesus' name and confidence in the word of the Lord. I'm going to pray one more thing and then we're going to go into worship real quick. I just want to do one invitation here. And I think that there's some in the room, you know you have a destiny and a calling from Jesus Christ. But in the midst of the warfare, you've been afraid to fully surrender to Jesus. I think there's maybe one. I don't know if there's more, but I want to give an opportunity for tonight for someone in the room to go, it wasn't Jesus causing the pain all along. Jesus has been with me, but there's purpose in the pain, and I'm ready to go all in on Jesus. So I want to do this. I want everyone to close your eyes. If there's anyone here tonight, you know you have a purpose. You know you have a destiny in Jesus, but you've been afraid to go all in on Jesus, and tonight is your night. I want you in the count of three to raise your hand that you're saying yes to radical surrender and radical trust of Jesus Christ, not only for your life on earth, but for eternity. One, two, three. Raise your hand if you want to go full radical surrender right now. Here's what I want you to do. If you're around that person right now, I want you just to put a hand on them. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. I want you to put a hand on them if you see a hand up. And I just want you to pray for them right now. Pray with them. Pray for them. We're just going to pray for a few seconds out loud. Jesus, we thank you right now. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we thank you for the healing that's happening in our lives. We thank you for the empowerment that's happening in our lives. Jesus, thank you that we are healed. We are whole in Christ. Jesus, thank you that you know every area of pain. And Jesus, you've come to set us free. I pray tonight you would see every prayer. You would touch every heart in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at circuitriders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.